Thanks for joining Impact Boom. On this episode...
When we're growing regenerative crops in the ocean, we're thinking about the health of the water, things that are doing more good than harm, things that don't require fertilizer or feed or fresh water, that when grown with each other are supporting the growth of each other.
Welcome to ImpactBoom.org. We search the globe to find the people, stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you create maximum positive impact. Each week, Impact Boom brings you thought-provoking interviews with world-leading practitioners passionate about creating positive social change. These designers, social entrepreneurs, educators, innovators, thinkers, and doers share their projects, initiatives, thoughts, and insights on creating a better world. You can find all the stories, links, and other great content at impactboom.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter for the latest updates, or subscribe to the newsletter or on iTunes.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 473 of Impact Boom. My name's Sarah Ripper, and I'm passionate about visioning, empowering, and contributing to positive, creative, regenerative, heart and soul-led initiatives locally and globally. Today, we are speaking with Kendall Barbary. Kendall is the Director of Partnerships and Program Development for GreenWave, where she focuses on catalyzing sustainable growth across the regenerative ocean farming sector by working with partners in the region where kelp farming is in its infancy, helping to assess needs and develop the infrastructure and support networks necessary for success. Since joining GreenWave in 2017, Kendall has supported all aspects of GreenWave's farming and nursery operations, developed strategy for core programming, and supported partners in North America and beyond. Before joining GreenWave, Kendall spent time as a marine technician in Antarctica and as a deckhand on commercial fishing boats in the salmon-rich waters of Bristol Bay, Alaska. On land, Kendall has deconstructed buildings, designed and built green infrastructure, and led watershed planning initiatives. Kendall holds a master's degree in environmental science from Yale School of the Environment. On today's podcast, we'll be discussing nurturing the emerging blue-green economy of the regenerative ocean farming space and what's in store for the future of sustainable ocean farming and research. Kendall, terrific to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Could we please start by learning a little bit about your background and what led you to the world of ocean farming?
Oh, absolutely. It was a long and circuitous path, really, that led me there. But the connection is always the water. I grew up on the water in the mid-Atlantic region of the United States in an area people refer to as the Tidewater. It's lowlands, marsh-filled on the coast of the Chesapeake Bay estuary. And when I looked out my window when I was young, I just saw flat land and murky water. It was something I looked at, but not a place I interacted with. I had no real appreciation for the richness and the beauty of the place and the ecosystem, or any inkling or understanding of the people who made their living on the water, the watermen and women who were the oyster harvesters, the fishers and the crabbers. It wasn't until I moved to Alaska in my early 20s and started working on the water and being humbled by it that I started to really understand and appreciate where I was and where I grew up. I showed up as a total novice, and I scraped together whatever job I could as a seasonal worker with absolutely no experience at first. I worked on water taxis and sport fishing boats and tour boats and a tugboat. And eventually I landed on this commercial fishing boat in Bristol Bay in what's touted as the largest sustainably managed sockeye fishery in the world. I am so sorry to put this pun here, but it was commercial fishing that got me hooked on the water, very literally. And I realized that I had a thirst for this work and the kind of connection to place that I get through being out there on the water, being exposed to the element, doing this very hard physical work. And I started seeing every place I live through my relationship to the water since that time. I moved to Connecticut a little bit more than a decade ago, and it was for grad school at the time. And I thought, I'll be here for a couple of years and move back to Alaska. That's definitely where I'm heading. And I started to see this place, Long Island Sound, in the same way that I had neglected the Chesapeake Bay in my youth. And I found this guy out on an oyster farm in the middle of Long Island Sound with a new idea for how to work on the water, a new way to look at what we're growing and growing in the ocean and maintaining a life and a livelihood doing this work. And I was so drawn to that work that this is where I stayed. And this is where I am now.
I love that. I love that it's come full circle for you. And now you're really leading the charge in many respects in a lot of innovation in this space. Can you tell us more about GreenWave and the work you're doing, the projects that are happening and the impact it's generating?
Yeah. GreenWave is a nonprofit organization that's based in New Haven, Connecticut, but we work across coasts and North America and are starting to work with partners internationally, other places around the world. And it is our core mission to train and support regenerative ocean farmers. So people who are growing seaweed and shellfish, things that are good for the ocean, don't require feed, fresh water, or fertilizer. Our mission is to train and support regenerative ocean farmers. And we do this through four program areas: training and support, market development, farmer infrastructure, and climate subsidies. Our programming really started with humble beginnings on a small ocean farm in central Connecticut, where Brent Smith started growing oysters and kelp alongside one another back in 2011, 2012. And it's grown from a really small, humble farm to a global movement that's reached thousands of people, not just across coasts in the US, but in other areas around the world. To date, we have an online hub with over 6,000 members from 60 countries. We have an app that supports data collection, and over 50 farmers in North America are using that app to collect growth data from their farm and understand the environmental impacts and benefits of those crops, such as carbon uptake and nitrogen uptake and reef restoration value. And we also have an app that supports value chain coordination and connects seed producers to farmers and farmers to buyers and processors, with about 70 companies currently on that app. So we're seeing more adoption and the network growing and people mobilizing around this new way of working on the ocean.
Are there any really great examples that you've seen of people taking this new knowledge or these new ways of thinking and relating to the ocean and turning them into innovative possibilities?
So I think that one of the things that's incredible is that people are coming to this movement for regenerative ocean farming from all sorts of places and all sorts of angles. We're working with fishermen in Alaska who have started cultivating kelp in their off season. So they're able to maintain a year-round livelihood working on the water, when otherwise they might have a very long period of time when there's no work or not the type of work that keeps them close to home and to their families. So we're working with shell fishermen and women on both coasts of the US who are diversifying their operations by incorporating seaweeds and recognizing the benefits of growing kelp alongside oysters and mussels and how these crops support and improve productivity of each other.
And what are some key innovations and possibilities in the blue-green economy?
It might be useful to talk about what we mean when we're talking about regenerative ocean farming. When people are growing regenerative crops on land, they're thinking about the health of the soil. When we're growing regenerative crops in the ocean, we're thinking about the health of the water, things that are doing more good than harm, things that don't require fertilizer or feed or fresh water, that when grown with each other are supporting the growth of each other. So when kelp is grown next to mussels, it's taking up carbon from the water and improving the environment for the shells to form. Same with oysters. So when we're thinking about regenerative ocean farming, we're talking about growing things that are good for the water, that don't require feed or fresh water or fertilizer. Growing oysters and mussels and kelp in the ocean is not necessarily a new technology, but it's the way that we're growing them and the way that we're thinking about them and about growing regenerative and restorative species like kelp and shellfish together that is the more innovative way of thinking. And those ideas are the ones that are pushing us forward. To catalyze this movement around regenerative ocean farming, though, we've also had to work with other types of technology. So we're exploring things like virtual reality, how to help farmers, as well as people with no real exposure or relationship to that water, to the ocean, to ocean farming, to understand what's happening below the surface of the water. So starting to develop different interactive and immersive educational technologies to really give people some virtual hands-on experience and inspire and attract more people to this movement.
Amazing. What are some inspiring projects or initiatives that you've come across recently that you feel are creating really positive change?
Right now, in addition to being inspired by all of the farmers who we're working with across coasts in North America and elsewhere in the world, and the innovation that's happening on those farms every day, I am really excited and energized by a new organization just 2 years old from Argentina called Por El Mar. And Por El Mar is a conservation-oriented organization working to protect and restore the oceans of Argentina. And GreenWave has recently established a partnership with them to explore the possibilities for regenerative ocean farming in Argentina. I am inspired by their energy, their dedication, and I'm really looking forward to where that partnership might take us.
Amazing. And to finish off, what are some books or resources that you would recommend to our listeners?
A couple of years ago, there is a marine biologist named Dr. Ayana Johnson, who happens to be on the board of GreenWave, but she published an anthology of essays called All We Can Save. And in a few months, she's releasing her second anthology of essays that's called What If We Get It Right? One of the reasons that I love the work that I do is because we're thinking and rethinking how to produce food. We're looking toward, not away from, the ocean as a solution. We're not just imagining the possibilities, we're activating them. And I'm looking forward to reading what other people envision for the future and the solutions that are already on the table.
Beautiful. Candles, thank you so much for your time and the amazing work that you're doing.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Impact Boom. You'll find links to the initiatives, people, and resources mentioned in this podcast on impactboom.org. Please leave your comments below, and remember, we'll be publishing fresh inspiration and insights to help you create positive impact every week on the website, Facebook page, and Twitter.